Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
All right, so I'm here with Lindsay Coombs. And Lindsay has, we both have a background actually from being from Indiana, which is very interesting. And she graduated from UCLA. My daughter's there at UCLA. And I also went to Earlham College in Indiana, and her aunt went there, and she actually visited there. So we have a lot in common. And Lindsay is very impressive for all the things that she's already accomplished. And right now, explain a little bit about the business that you're setting up. You've been working on it for...
My current business I've been working on for 1 year. I did a build out in Beverly Hills, a 4,000 square foot space.
Wow, 4,000 square feet is huge.
Yes, yeah. And I recruited 8 doctors. So we have internal medicine to handle all of our hormone replacement and our executive checkups. We have traditional dermatology. And then we have a multi-specialty plastic surgery center within OR. So we have a surgery center within space.
Wow. So what's it called?
Reverse Aging Center.
Ah, the Reverse Aging Center. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I came up with that. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And our logo is a clock with the hand going backwards, and it says, "It's about time." Max came up with that.
Wow, that's really good. So who's Max again?
Max is my boss and business partner. He was the only investor on the project. And he's the main guy as our CEO.
So this is Max Sawoff?
Correct.
MD?
Correct.
Correct. And so he also has, or does he still have the other centers around the world?
So he has 2 hospitals that he owns and operates right now. And in 2014, he sold a company called Cosmosurge in the Middle East, which is his 11 centers. But he's still the chairman of the board, and his brother stepped up as the CEO.
I see. Uh-huh.
And his son-in-law is the COO, and those are all in the Middle East. And he decided to go ahead and come to the U.S. and execute the same business plan, but add additional service offerings.
Ah, very interesting. So the focus of this particular center is helping people reverse aging.
So actually the reason that it was such a good fit for Dr. Max and I to partner and team up is that I was already working in the regenerative medicine space. I've been doing stem cell therapy and PRP for the last 6 years.
What's PRP again?
Platelet-rich plasma, where we take your blood, we spin it out, re-inject it, and when you re-inject it, there's a lot of growth factors and cytokines. It mobilizes the stem cells out of your bone marrow. They run to the area that's just been infused, and it has a major anti-inflammatory effect. So you'll see athletes like Kobe Bryant getting PRP before a big game for his Achilles tendon, or you'll see Peyton Manning or other professional athletes using these regenerative therapies. Even though they're not recognized right now by the FDA or the insurance companies.
So there's a lot of scientific and clinical basis for use of them, but they aren't necessarily reimbursable by insurance or
correct,
something.
Correct, correct. Right?
So professional athletes are using these particular therapies did you help design these or develop them or?
I actually got my protocols from multiple universities. I got one of my protocols from UCLA, and then I got my infusion protocol from a professor at UC Riverside.
Oh, fantastic. So these particular systems are being used for professional athletes and others. One application is in the orthopedic arena.
Correct, and that was my previous business. Is actually my former business partner was on the doctors yesterday for stem cell therapy for the knees. It hasn't aired, but they filmed yesterday. And it's most proven and has the most data at this point in the orthopedic arena.
And
they have proven
to
regenerate the hyaline cartilage in the knee. They've regenerated torn rotator cuffs, and you can see that through imaging.
Wow. And so you're doing imaging of all the orthopedic issues that people have before and after in order
correct.
To document the changes?
Correct. We're doing something called an IRB, And
which is stands for?
An IRB is investigational. Wait a minute, IRB.
Investigational research something.
No, it's from the Institutional Review Board.
All right.
Yes. So basically 12 members of the Human Health Services are appointed to an IRB board. We design, write the study. It gets submitted. It usually takes between 2 to 3 months, and they'll approve the study. At that point, once all of that data is collected, only if it was under IRB is it publishable.
Oh,
so everything that we're collecting right now will be publishable.
I see. Now, you've done other research that's been published in various journals? Like what journals?
You know, I'd have to sort through the different doctors on the studies, but throughout the years, different doctors have held our IRBs that I've worked on.
Wow, very interesting. So this is using the PRP?
That's What's using the actual stem cells. Bone marrow and from adipose tissue.
Okay, so the stem cells themselves are harvested from bone marrow or from adipose tissue.
Correct.
And is there's a difference between the two? Or?
Absolutely. When you get stem cells from bone marrow, it's a hematopoietic stem cell, and you can see the actual...
Meaning generated by the blood system.
Correct.
Right.
And when you look under a microscope, the marker on it is a CD34 positive, and that's the stem cell that we're isolating and trying to use, because the mesenchymal that can turn into bone, ligament, cartilage, muscle tissue, nerve tissue, it can't turn into blood, though. When you get these stem cells from fat, they're a little bit further along in their life cycle. So although they still have the same potential for differentiation, there is more debris involved. So... there's two different thoughts, whether fat's better or bone marrow. There are definitely more mesenchymal stem cells in adipose tissue, but the isolation process requires an enzyme called collagenase or lecithin, and when you actually break down and separate the fat, it's considered minor manipulation the FDA.
Uh-huh.
So up until a few weeks ago, I had been doing many adipose treatments, but the FDA is starting to crack down, so we're sticking to bone marrow now.
I see. So you talked about them being mesenchymal.
Yes, and let me clarify real quick about the FDA.
Sure.
So right now, any physician... that, you know, is an MD can do a bone marrow aspiration or a mini liposuction, and it's not considered a food or a drug. The FDA only regulates food and drugs. When you're taking your own blood or your own tissue, taking them out of the body and then re-injecting, it's just considered a practice of medicine, and although it's considered an experimental practice of medicine, it's still the doctor's decision and the patient's decision to do that. So up until now, the FDA has had no jurisdiction.
Yeah.
The problem with this is that the pharmaceutical companies are lobbying very hard to get the FDA to take control, because if we start healing people with their own stem cells, they're no longer going to need their medications.
And exactly.
It's threatening the pharmaceutical industry, and that's why it's controversial. Not because people are going to get cancer or people are hurting themselves. There's no danger and risk whatsoever in using stem cell therapy. It's really a political issue.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of politics in the medical arena.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be lost or to be made, and that makes a lot of sense. So so there's mesenchymal cells. Now, how about other cells that would be potentially useful in a brain or a neurological situation? What is that
so
something that one could do?
Absolutely. Stem cells have proven there's two ways to get stem cells into the brain. There's one where a neurosurgeon can go in and they put a reservoir and they actually drip the stem cells into the brain.
And it's a reservoir where?
In the top of the head.
Right. So it's between the dura and the skull, or is it actually intrameningeal?
So I would have to ask.
All right.
I know two doctors in the United States that are doing this, and I haven't actually assisted or worked directly with them. And then I know another doctor that is doing an intrathecal lumbar puncture and injecting into the spinal fluid, and then hoping that it passes the blood-brain barrier.
Okay. All right.
And most of the universities are doing it that way.
I see. So universities are doing stem cell injection intrathecally.
Absolutely.
And they are researching whether and to what degree it's passing through the blood-brain barrier.
Are you guys staying here for a second?
Yeah.
Can I leave my stuff so I can use the light ladies' room?
Thank you very much.
So that's very interesting. One of the things that I have studied and I practice in my practice is called neurologic relief center technique. And it's based on the fact that the meninges can get twisted or torqued or compressed. And thus the flow of blood and the flow of cerebrospinal fluid may be reduced. Or the meninges may also cause a friction burn-like activation of the nerves, either exiting the spinal cord or the cranial nerves, because the meninges surround every single nerve that is coming in or out of the spinal cord in the brain, and it also surrounds the brain and the spinal cord, and it goes in every little involution and you know, in the brain. So the meninges control the flow of blood to the brain, and they control the cerebral spinal fluid flow. And if they get twisted or torqued, all kinds of strange symptoms occur. So it's very fascinating to me to hear about the blood-brain barrier.
Because that would be the highway that then the sensors would travel in.
Exactly, yeah. So that's very fascinating to know that stem cells are being put in a reservoir in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of changes are they noticing with respect to that?
So I know that there's a lot of research happening with any type of neurodegenerative condition.
Uh-huh.
I know that Michael J. Fox, Nancy Reagan, Christopher Reeves, a lot of celebrities have donated millions of dollars to research. And, of course, each of them have their own reason for that.
Yeah.
You know, Michael J. Fox is obviously a huge advocate for
Parkinson's
research.
Yes, absolutely.
And
Are you doing an interview?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
So that makes a lot of sense. So Parkinson's is one arena where it's being used to research how well stem cells may have some regenerative effect.
Mm-hmm. Alzheimer's as well. There's a lot of research going on.
Uh-huh.
That's not something that we do at our clinic.
All right.
We stay, but a lot of the universities, there's something called the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine. It's a holding company, and the government recently gave them in the last 3 years, actually $3 billion. And they're in charge of how they allocate those funds to the different research institutions and universities.
Mm.
So I would say that San Diego has a lot of research happening, and then also Stanford, Harvard as well.
Uh-huh. And this is all having to do with brain or nervous system regeneration,
mm-hmm,
because of degenerative neurological problems.
Correct.
Very interesting. So now, you, at your center, you do have some sort of imaging devices or something that you say can also, when you're trained and know what to look for, can find different activities and stuff going on in the brain, or was it?
So the way that I understand it, we're measuring the four different types of brain waves and the four frequencies and seeing how that they interact with each other. We're looking at speed. We're looking at
voltage.
Rhythm.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm just telling him I haven't gone through the training yet.
Yeah. So is that an MRI or that's just, those are
EEG.
EEG, exactly. That makes sense.
And that combined with computer testing, like your vocabulary, your attention, your reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
So we combine that to get the, and if you want a complete picture, we do the amino acids in the urine to get for the neurotransmitters.
I see. All right. So and this is Dr. Max Sawoff,
yeah,
who is the director.
Founder and CEO
of the
Reverse Aging Center.
Reverse Aging Center in Beverly Hills. And so it's very fascinating. I was just mentioning before to Lindsay that the book that I talk about, I'm still finishing up the final research stages of. And so I'm interviewing people to understand the way that currently a variety of things, but it's not only how do we prevent Alzheimer's, but how do we maximize people's brain power and functioning. So it's not just the degenerative, but actually making it much better. And so in your research with this EEGs and the different brain waves, one of the things that I have studied and I tend to believe is that right now, for example, we have all these different brain waves that are going on at the same time. It's just a matter of the percentages of how much alpha, beta, delta, theta, gamma are going on at one point that makes a difference in our level of consciousness.
Right. It's actually related to the neurotransmitters.
Uh-huh.
The four there are four waves, but there are also four neurotransmitters.
Right.
The acetylcholine, the serotonin, the
GABA and dopamine.
GABA and dopamine. Mm-hmm. And each is responsible for something. Acetylcholine is the speed, dopamine is the energy, GABA is the volume, and so forth. So I believe
and
that...
And so you're studying it relative to the brainwaves?
Right. The brainwaves...
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, that's how it triggers... Why are we different emotionally or energy or calm or... Right? Uh-huh. It's all related to this probably God-made... You're born with this electrical conduction variety. And same thing with the neurotransmitter. We are only different in our neurotransmitters.
Yes.
And what combination is it? So you have four letters, like the DNA.
Right.
You can do the DNA with just four letters. Uh-huh. Imagine with those four neurotransmitters, it depends on are you deficient a little bit? Exactly. How deficient you are in one, how strong you are. So with four, and how they are sequences, etc.
Fascinating. So,
but I think what we know about the brain and brain function is a lot less of than what we don't know. Even though it's evolving and we're learning so much.
Yeah.
I predict that it's going to be very similar to the Human Genome Project, where they're going to think it takes 20 years and that it's going to move exponentially, because the human genome, I mean, they were able to...
Yeah, they thought it was going to take so much longer and there were certain breakthroughs.
3 billion snippets and they're done now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I hope that that's what happens with the brain imaging and the brain...
We call it the Brain Restoration Program. We do brain executive brain checkup.
Fantastic. Yeah. Because these are the kind of things that I'm looking for to put in the book.
Where are you?
What?
Where are you based?
In Berkeley. But the book itself...
I won't hold this against you. Berkeley's...
Yeah. The book itself is called Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. Uh-huh. And so there are a variety of different ways that I've spoken to other physicians to how... Are people being monitored with respect to their brain function at an early age so it can be monitored so you can already see what's going on and catch things before it starts getting bad?
The MRI has also a role to play in that.
Yeah.
MRIs and definitely the EEG, the speed.
Yes.
The first thing you do is to loss of speed. That's, the difference between a comatose.
Yes.
I'm sure you know. And so your normal is like 320 milliseconds.
All right.
The speed.
Uh-huh.
So
speed of what?
The speed of conduction.
All right.
Okay. It's
conduction through the brain.
Through the brain.
Yeah.
That's acetylcholine.
Yes.
Related.
Yes.
That's right here.
Yeah. In the back of the head.
In the back.
Right. You can't
the
see
the parietal.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. Here is the dopamine.
Yes.
This is
dopamine's
the
in the frontal.
That's the beta.
Yeah.
That's the alpha.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the theta. So
okay. So theta is on... The left side of the brain?
Temporal. Yeah.
Both sides. And the alpha is in the frontal?
Occipital.
Oh, that's right. Alpha.
No,
sorry. Came before.
Parietal. Parietal, then temporal.
Parietal. Temporal. Yeah. Okay. So when you do the EEG, then you are measuring all the brain waves in different areas. And And you do some sort of testing or challenge to the
person?
You put
like 24 channels.
Yeah.
I mean, you put the glue, gel, blah, blah. And you put that, so you're monitoring, like you're doing the EKG, exactly the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So here's a channel.
Yeah.
But now you challenge them with testing and see how they're responding, etc. to...
So it's like computerized testing, computer screen testing. Things?
Yeah,
or
let's say click when you see... A big dot,
right?
And don't click if it's a smaller dot.
Yeah.
And then we go fast, and then you see. So if you are a nervous person, which means low GABA, you're gonna omit or commit errors, as opposed to, and plus you have to have the speed. So it measures speed, rhythm, GABA, etc. I'm no expert. I'm learning.
So do you have any baselines of what could be expected?
I have my baseline.
Your baseline.
Oh, yeah. The baseline is 320.
320.
If you are an 18-year-old. I am a 320.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm 310. I'm fast.
Wow.
I'm like a good IQ, better than most people.
Yeah.
As good as an 18-year-old boy.
And
but the problem is the voltage.
Ah.
It's like I have a good mobile,
right.
But I don't charge it. I don't sleep.
I have, sleep.
I have a sleep issue. I have so much dopamine. I'm a dopamine. 17% of people are dopamine dominant. 17% are 50% are the GABA happy, you know, the peacemakers is like 52%.
That's 17%, a lot of people.
Yeah, the majority are.
Yeah.
I'm in the minority, 17%. Mm-hmm. I'm dopamine, full of dopamine.
Yeah.
Meaning and so much energy, and I can't switch off.
Yeah.
My Rolodex brain, I go to sleep, I don't want to think. I want to switch off. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of energy. I tire her, she's 30, and she's tired keeping up with me.
It's unbelievable.
And I just arrived from Dubai.
Yeah.
16-hour flight.
Yes. And when did you arrive? Just before this class?
Yeah.
The night before.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, my question to you is, are the results...
So I have trouble. Sorry. I can keep the energy. I can stay all night talking. No problem. But I can't remember. What's your name?
This is a great
question. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I can't because I don't have the juice. The juice... So the speed...
So,
the speed...
Speed is there, but the speed voltage...
Speed is there, but the voltage... I have no battery. It's
right,
gone.
Right.
So
and that's
sleep
jet lag?
Recharges your battery.
Jet lag or sleep. Because of lack of sleep?
So
because of jet lag. I'm already dopamine.
Right.
I already have sleep issues.
Right. Okay.
So it takes me 12 days to just readjust.
Interesting. Now, is there any way that you could use...
melatonin, etc.? I tried everything.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, is there some sort of electrical device or something that you could use that would reset your brain?
There's a tense unit.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in it, but Braverman, if you know Dr. Braverman, you know Eric Braverman?
No.
He's also a GP, a family practitioner.
Uh-huh.
He's in New York. He charges $20,000
to
do your brain executive checkup.
I
went to him two days,
uh-huh.
and that includes the MRI, etc.
Can I get my question out?
Yes.
Did your sleeping patterns before you saw Braverman affect the result? Like the 48 hours before you go in for the test? Because if it's dependent on the last 48 hours, you could have had lower numbers. You could have had lower numbers.
Yeah, but I was already in Washington.
So
I flew to New York, so it's the same.
Same thing. So you were okay. So you felt like you were fully charged and you were still on empty. At your fully charged, because you weren't like
I
empty.
I wasn't fully charged. It was like a week. I came to D.C. a week, and a week later I went to New York. I came from Dubai.
How much are the results going to vary based off of the...
It doesn't
the
matter.
Week?
I'm already an insomnia guy.
I already
have sleep issue for the last 25 years.
And that's a voltage thing? Or that's
it's a dopamine thing.
Dopamine.
I'm full of dopamine.
Right.
Full of shit.
Right.
You know that? It's energy.
Yeah.
Dopamine is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very energy. I mean, since I was a hyperactive kid.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of. So if you have too much, you know, I have, my mom said she has 6 kids. I was as much of a burden as the 5 combined.
Are you the oldest or the youngest or middle or?
I'm second oldest.
Second oldest, yeah.
I used to walk. We lived on the 4th floor in a building,
high rise,
And I walk on the edge of the balcony.
At the top?
Just for fun, to attract attention, too. I mean, my mom would just stand there. Okay, come on, come down. She's afraid to come near me. She's afraid to startle me.
So also, you're a risk taker.
Yeah,
you've always been a risk taker, and this is dopamine related, the risk taking?
No, it's a serotonin related.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm seeking fun and pleasure and risk.
Because you have a lot or because you have less?
Because you
serotonin.
Have
yeah. okay. I have... No, that's usually when you don't have enough. So you seek either cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, or
walking
or
on
danger,
balconies.
Adrenaline. So.
Right, right. Yeah. To boost it.
Yeah. It's, again, I'm not an expert.
Of course not. But you know about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what triggered I went to get my boards in anti-aging medicine.
Mm.
I did the fellowship, the written, the oral, the whole thing. I was taking, I fly from Dubai and take 4 days of courses. It's just like, I can't remember I go home, I'm sitting on the plane, I say, oh my God, this is like, I'm reading this the first time, but I see my handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because again, it's 9 hours, 8 hours
exactly.
of lecture after lecture, 4 days in a row, 700 slides.
Crazy.
Crazy for a person who's already in L.A. or in Vegas.
Right.
Here I am flying from Dubai the day before.
Exactly. So it's trying to learn at night.
I was so motivated.
Uh-huh.
My motivation was, how come I developed coronary disease at age 53? Yeah. 54.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is this? That's 1998.
Yeah.
I wasn't a smoker. I was maybe 7 pounds more than now, maybe 10, but nothing. What else?
And so did you figure it out?
Yeah, it's a genes, for one thing.
Is that right?
And, yeah, I have my dad, my uncle, etc. Uh-huh. And plus, in the Middle East, in Syria, where I'm from, we don't use a fork. We dip with pita bread.
Oh, yes, yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
So that's sugar. That's 60% of the weight. 65% of our
pita is carbs.
Is sugar.
Oh, sugar.
Pure sugar.
You mean the pita?
Yeah, the bread. Any bread. Oh, yeah. White toast is 65% sugar of its weight. So imagine if...
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to be informed of upcoming podcasts, please subscribe to Natural Solutions with Dr. J so you know exactly when the next episodes will be coming up. Thanks a lot and have a great day.